Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business topics in Mid-Missouri. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, a University of Missouri study takes a look at the impact economic strains can have on middle-class families. But first, this week's Harvest Public Media report. Rootworm and corn don't go together, as farmers know all too well. That's why it was big news last month when an Environmental Protection Agency report found that genetically modified corn from Monsanto might be losing effectiveness in battling the unwanted pest. Whether their crops have suffered or not, corn growers across the Midwest are weighing the significance of the EPA's concerns. Harvest Public Media's Clay Masters reports.
During the winter, agronomist Ben Pinkelman spends a lot of time inside sitting at a computer. But in the summer, his office is on wheels, his pickup truck. Pinkelman unfolds a map of Nebraska to put into perspective how much time he spends in his mobile office.
Oh, where are we at? Okay. Basically, from South Sioux City on the east edge, Yankton, South Dakota on the north edge.
Pinkelman is a crop consultant and oversees more than 30,000 acres. Of those acres, 3,000 show signs of a rootworm infestation.
I've seen on my south end, east end, west end, north end, so I've seen it kind of my whole territory here of northeast Nebraska.
The signs of an infested field? The plants aren't standing well in their rows. They're tilted, or there's just areas where the corn is lying flat on the ground. All this because the pests are eating at the roots. What's common about these fields, Pinkelman says, is they're planted continuously with corn, primarily Monsanto's genetically modified corn that is supposed to resist rootworm.
If we throw the same thing at it year after year after year after year, it's going to beat us. So we have to think longer term and hopefully integrate more approaches to keep the rootworm guessing.
The EPA issued a report last month that sees the very same problem in fields it surveyed in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska. The report stated that a trait in one of Monsanto's genetically engineered corn seed, which has been on the market since 2003, may be losing some of its effectiveness against rootworm. Mimi Ricketts is a spokesperson for Monsanto.
We take the EPA's report very seriously, and we do know that farmers have faced hot spots with high populations of rootworms for years, even prior to the introduction of insect-protected trait technologies. You know, today there are geographical pockets of heavy rootworm infestation in areas where there's been a long history of corn-on-corn plantings.
In Nebraska, that's becoming a common planting pattern, especially for cattle producers. Bob Wright is a professor of entomology at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
There's an economic incentive to grow your own corn rather than buy it from somebody else, and especially with the higher value of corn these days, that's sort of exaggerating or exacerbating the issue in terms of why people are growing continuous corn.
Farmers facing rootworm infestation do have options. For one, they can rotate their fields to a different crop like soybeans, a plant where the rootworm cannot survive, essentially breaking the life cycle of the pest. Two, they can switch to a different seed that has multiple traits that kill the rootworm. Or they can switch to older methods of pest control, like soil insecticides.
If management practices that led to problems in a few fields are continued on a larger scale, the problem likely will become bigger.
That's Aaron Gassman, an assistant professor of entomology at Iowa State University. His research was cited by the EPA in its report. Gassman examined rootworm damage in Iowa fields from 2009.
It's hard to know just how big of an issue this could become. It could become, I think, a substantial problem down the road if things don't change now.
Ben Pinkelman, the agronomist in northeast Nebraska, notes that rootworm resistance is an ongoing battle for farmers, no matter what seed they plant. But he does see a broader concern in this case.
We got a trait, and these traits are supposed to be infallible. It's kind of the general belief out there. That's why we're hearing about it. It's because a trait has failed, and it's never happened before. Insecticides have failed before. Cultural controls have failed before. This is kind of a first.
The stakes are high. According to the Corn and Soybean Digest, roughly two-thirds of the U.S. corn crop has been genetically modified to ward off pests. I'm Clay Masters, Harvest Public Media.
Nearly half of Americans say they've encountered financial problems in the past year, according to the Pew Research Center. Recently, a University of Missouri researcher studied the impact of that economic strain on average middle-class families. He and his colleagues found out that financial problems affect both the parents' relationships with their kids and also the children themselves. KBIA's Camille Masracci spoke with MU Professor of Diversity Gustavo Carlo with the Department of Human Development and Family Studies.
What's unique about this study is that, unlike most of the other studies, this study really was designed to examine what kind of effect does this economic strain have on youth positive behavioral outcomes. So we focused on prosocial behaviors, which is a good marker of competency in adolescence, and found that families, parents that are feeling economic strain, that they're having difficulties with their youth, and their youth in turn are exhibiting lower levels of these prosocial competencies.
So would you say that this situation will affect these kids' adulthood?
Well, that's a risk. We don't know. Obviously, this study doesn't directly address that, but
what would you say the risks are?
You know, prosocial behaviors is linked to a lot of indicators of health and adjustment. It's a major marker of moral development. It's a major marker of civic engagement. So what we're talking about is kids that may be less considerate of others, less respectful of others, less engaged in their communities, less invested in their communities, kids that may have difficulties developing good peer relationships with others, being more mistrusting of others. Prosocial behaviors is negatively associated with aggression and violence and delinquency and substance use. There's a number of other markers that prosocial behaviors are associated with. But there's always exceptions. There's always going to be a subgroup of parents that might respond in a positive manner. The one thing that we do know, however, is that it is a risk factor. So there is the very important question of how do we respond to that risk? How do we respond to that stress? And certainly there are parent intervention programs, and you know, there are things that parents can do to respond in a more positive manner to the stress that they're experiencing.
That's this week's Business Beat. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.